She got her PhD from the University of Georgia in 2002. Now she's the host of the website called DissonantProf.com. And she joins us now on the Rob and Dave Show. It's Mary Graybar. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. You're in Tampa right now. How's that been going for you?
Well, actually, I'm back here in Atlanta.
Oh, you are.
I came back Wednesday morning so I could teach in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
So I spent 3.5 days there, though.
I know you were there. You spent some time with the protesters. And
mm-hmm.
this is something we've seen some pictures, a little bit of video coverage, but not a whole lot because, of course, I don't watch mainstream media. I'm sure that they focused a lot on the protesters. But as I understand, the protester presence wasn't as substantial as everyone thought it would be.
Far from it. One news report estimated 15,000. I was there with my friend, and the maximum number was 200 at any given march or rally. I mean, and this was a motley crew of protesters, you know, very unorganized and, you know, really a bunch of people that I mostly felt sorry for. So, yeah, no, it was a big fizzle.
Yeah, but I can see that, Mary, this kind of arithmetic error happens to me all the time. I was trying to buy some new furniture for my house, and they said it's $15,000 to outfit my whole house. I said, I got $15,000, and I gave them the money, and they said, this is only $200. And I said, oh, same thing. So those guys that counted the 200 protesters and it at 15,000, I mean, people in everyday life make these kind of math errors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm pretty bad at math, but I could definitely tell there weren't 15,000 or even the 500 that some news reports indicated that were there this week.
It was described to us yesterday, yeah. Mary, by someone else that had seen the protesters that he saw about 12 protesters standing arm in arm and chanting, and he said around them were about 5 photographers and video cameras trying to capture the moment.
Yeah. That's what I saw, basically. You know, Camp Romneyville there on Tuesday, there were just about as many reporters as there were people camping out and mm-hmm. protesters. And it's really something to see, you know, an ABC News reporter holding up the microphone to a guy who seems to be homeless and, you know, maybe has some psychiatric problems and asking him his opinion on the presidential election. They're pretty desperate.
Trying to paint him, no doubt, as a Republican. Well, yeah, I'm sure. Now, you said that you felt sorry for some of these people. Why?
Well, these are, I mean, of course you have the professional, you know, protest organizers. You have the National Lawyers Guild and the ACLU ready to defend these people against police brutality, which was the biggest myth there ever was. But a lot of these people are the perpetually homeless. We talked to one guy who said he was homeless by choice. There were people, you know, who were on drugs, people who, you know, seemed to have psychiatric problems. They were disenfranchised. They were angry people. They were not, you know, productive, happy members of society for the most part.
And they were obviously against Romney, but were they for anything?
Well, I did see some pro-Obama signs, you know, but when you talk to these people, especially if they're from, you know, associated with groups that aren't supposed to advocate for a specific politician, they will say, oh, yeah, we're against both parties. But, you know, they were, you know, there were some pro-Obama signs, but there were no signs against Obama. There was no chanting against Obama. So clearly, these people were in Obama's camp for the most part. That was my impression.
It's interesting that they are homeless, and you said some of them are homeless by choice, and Mitt Romney has no role in the federal government whatsoever, and instead of them calling this Obamaville, they call it Romneyville. Do they have any understanding at all that Mitt Romney has nothing to do with the policies of today that are hurting these very people?
Think so. I mean, they're protesting the Romney economy. I mean, they're the 99%, as one sign said, and they're protesting the Romney economy. I guess trying to spin the narrative, they're getting a head start on it, you know, thinking that if Romney becomes president, they're going to do the same thing that they did to George Bush. So, but clearly they're illogical. They're not thinking straight. And so it's all about the impressions, you know, that really have very little to do with the reality.
We're talking with Mary Graybar. She is a professor in town at, is it George, which one, I'm sorry?
I'm at Emory.
At Emory, that's right. Mm-hmm. And she has been in Tampa, came back a couple of days ago, but she went there and observed firsthand some protesters and interacted with them to find out what the motivations were. But I'm curious, Mary, at a lot of the protests we've seen, like up in Wisconsin and some of the Romney conferences, there are people that have shown up there that admitted that they were paid to show up and protest, even though they weren't even sure what they were protesting. They just collected their money and went and did what they were told. I get the feeling that those on the left, and particularly the Democratic Party, are out of money right now because I didn't hear of any paid protesters at this Romney event.
Yeah, I couldn't verify that, but my friend who has had a lot of experience with this says that often these groups will pay the homeless, you know, $10 or $20.
Mm-hmm.
I did meet a few people from the Pennsylvania working families, and I went on their website, and I know they had a send-off on Friday before they came up or came down to Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was hard to tell, but they did have, you know, there were a lot of, you know, left-wing organizations being represented there.
Sure.
by individuals. So it's hard to tell.
This,
you know,
was all...
The working families, people claimed they paid their own way, but
okay.
I haven't verified that.
This was all trumped up so huge beforehand that we were expecting tens of thousands of protesters, and I know they beefed up security and law enforcement there for that huge mm-hmm. number that we were told was going to show up. You also talked to and observed some of these law enforcement officers. What was their attitude? How are they behaving?
Oh, they are so admirable. You know, you hear about the protesters calling police pigs to their faces. Well, I was right there. I heard this one guy, this young man, you know, make this, you know, joke about the circus being in town. Here are the pigs. You know, he was, you know, a few feet away from these police officers. They laughed it off in a friendly way. They smiled back at him. I mean, can you imagine having a job like that where you have to endure that from people and just respond in a polite way? Their behavior was exemplary, and they were out there in the hot Tampa humidity, you know, loaded down with their gear,
mm-hmm.
and they were friendly. They gave us directions. You know, I saw them interacting with protesters in a friendly manner.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible, you know, incredible grace, you know, with a difficult job. Of course, they didn't have that much to do because the showing was so poor.
Yeah, right, right. But again, their attitude, mentality, completely the opposite, 180 degrees from the protesters.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, there was a report that the police at Camp Romneyville, they were running out of food, so they sent over boxed lunches.
Wow. How about
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Well,
so, you know, the police brutality narrative that they were trying to spin is completely false.
Yeah.
Completely.
Well, Mary, thank you very much. Good to talk to you this morning.
Well, great. It was great talking to you.
Mary Graybar at 643. She, of course, is professor at Emory. And you can find her at marygraybar.com and also at dissidentprof.com.
And not all the protesters are out of their mind. As a matter of fact, when the Occupy movement was here, we had one of the leaders of that Occupy movement here in Atlanta, and they
mm-hmm.
talked about the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one common cause,
mm-hmm.
stop the nonsense at the Fed. I kind of like that. But when I went down to the Capitol during the whole Scott Walker Union thing, there were clearly American folks that came down there in support of Scott Walker at the Georgia Dome,
mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
there were clearly folks that were paid union people with outfits and uniforms and paid for signs.
Right, right.
Clearly a difference, and there was definitely money involved.
And we asked that Occupier guy to come back and visit with us on air again, but he couldn't get a car right here. So, and I don't think he had the money for the bus. Now, as much as this pains you, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was on the Alan Colmes radio show on Fox News last night talking about Mitt Romney's acceptance speech.
Obviously made a decision, which their advisors have said was deliberate, to stay away from any specifics because, you know, if they fill in any details, they're more likely to alienate your average middle-class voter.
All right. Now, that's her big complaint. Let's see how many specifics Obama brings up in his speech next week. But again, this is just kind of a preview of what next week's convention is going to be like.
I think he's going to talk about free stuff for everybody and the history of the world coming down from the sky.
Yep.
Real specific. Sounds great.
And he's probably going to take credit for the oceans stopping the big. We gave the statistics here on the air. It was proven that the rate of rise of the oceans suddenly stopped. It just came to an end.
And the Earth is healing. Is
yeah,
that right?
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, good.
Apparently.
Thank God.
Because of all those Chevy Volts out there. 6:45 now on the Talk of Atlanta. And how are we doing in traffic, Margo?